God, help the words to be simple. Help us just understand that freedom carries a price. That real freedom carries price. And that we have to understand that's the price we have to pay. In Jesus' name, amen. If the enemy had known they were coming, it wouldn't have been hard to find them. You could have found the blood in the snow and knew where they were. You see, a good number of them didn't have shoes. They had their feet wrapped up in rags. And most of them really didn't have much of any kind of clothes at all. And so they were shivering and freezing as they walked along in the snow and in the bad weather and came to a place called Valley Forge. And there was the river. And it wasn't just cold, but it was sleeting. And it was freezing rain. Maybe what we're going to see here night into tomorrow, who knows? And they were just chilled out to no end. And there was that river, and it was filled with ice. And the boats were there to carry them across. And they were cold, and they were bloody. And they had a leader that they loved and thought the world of. And as he started out across that river, his boat went sideways. And one of those young kids, next to naked as it was, with bleeding feet, jumped into that river. Into that freezing cold river. And steadied the boat. When they pulled him out, they got him to the other side and they started a fire. It was like last night, folks. Except he was frozen. So they stripped clothes off of him. And he'd stand one way to the front and it would burn his flesh. And he'd freeze on the backside. And he'd turn back around again. And he'd freeze on the other way around. But you see, he was there for freedom's sake. The story is told about this. And about the effort of America to break itself free from what they considered to be and what was tyranny. It is why when we said in Ava, Missouri today, we are free people. Because of men and women who are willing to pay the price for freedom. It is just a story based upon historical fact, perhaps. What we're about to read is the gospel truth of the price of freedom. Once when they were going to a place of prayer, we met a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. Now let's think back to a couple of weeks since we did a little different lesson last week to where we are. Yeah, Paul and Silas, remember they had that little split back there before they went out on this missionary journey. So now it's Paul and Silas. We now know that the writer of the book of Acts, Luke, has joined them because this is one of those we passages that we find in the book of Acts. But they have now heard the Macedonian call, and they have crossed over that sea, and they have now made their way to the Gentile world. I mean, this is bold-faced. We worship everything under the sun. Most of us don't even know who God is, unless he's just one of the multiple ones we worship. So they are now there in very foreign land. And they get there, and they land, and all of a sudden they're looking for a church house inside the city, and there ain't one. Two reasons, possibility you recall. First is they didn't have enough Jews there. 10 Jewish men required to have a synagogue. They didn't have one. Or perhaps it was because of the decree that had come out of Rome saying, we're going to run the Jews out of town. And since Philippi, this place right here, was one of those Roman colonies or garrisons that had great Roman pride, they may have followed the edict of the emperor and run all the Jews away. At least they could not worship in the city. And so Paul and Silas and Luke that's with them, they end up outside of town looking for a church house gathering. And lo and behold, they find by the riverside that gathering, and they run into these women. Maybe the men aren't around. Maybe the men are afraid to show their heads. We don't know, but they're not there. They run into these women, and the next thing you know, they preach the gospel, and all of a sudden, Lydia hears the gospel. She's that rich, wealthy gal. And she puts on Jesus Christ, and all of those of her household that can respond and do the same. And you think, my goodness, we've started Christianity on a great footing here in this Gentile world. Look what God has done, how great it's going to be. Katie, bar the door. Here comes Christianity. And she's so well off, and she is so glad to be a Christian and to find Jesus, that she convinces these boys, stay with me. And that took some talking, but she's successful in that. And so they stay there. And you got to get this now, folks. This is going on day after day and week after week. This has been a while. Paul and Silas are going to stay there in Philippi for a while. And things haven't improved. They still don't have a church house. They don't have a place to come and worship. And so here you pick up the narrative. Once we were going to the place of prayer. That's outside the city. It's called the place of prayer because everybody kind of had a designated spot. We kid one another, the Corum family, that we're going to meet on the southwest corner of heaven and gather when we finally get there. That's a running joke in my family. There is a place we plan to go so everybody will know where we are. Well, that's exactly what's happening here. They have a designated spot outside the city by the river. And now this is where the Christians are going. With those who are Jews or those who are wanting to know more about God. And so Paul and Silas and this writer of the book of Acts, they're on their way there. We ran into a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. This could be translated as a demon in the original language. Real deal. No fake here. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. Now, I could talk to you about the Temple of Delphi, which is where this particular religious being probably came from. But there is a place where they worship Delphi, where they worship the god Apollo. And you have to go back and read your Greek and your Roman history, but you're going to find out right here that in order to get a good read on what Apollo wanted you to do, you had to find some woman somewhere and you had to convince her, either demon possessed or possessed by drugs, to give you a reading. There are temples of Delphi, at least four or five different locations, but just north of here a ways, you're going to find the real deal. We get to that when we study the book of 1 Corinthians. But for today's benefit, this gal isn't one of those priestesses. She's kind of a knockoff, if you will, because she's called a fortune teller. Not good enough to be a priestess, but sort of okay in order to tell your future. And she is demoned. Devil possessed. She followed Paul and the rest of us shouting. Notice the word us. The writer is there. These men are servants of the Most High God and telling you the way to be what? You got your text out where you're reading it? It's pure and simple. The way to be saved. Now I want everybody to get this. Because what's happening here in the story of the history of God's church in the book of Acts are men and women going around saying to you, this is what you need to do to be saved. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. When they asked the question, what must we do to be saved? The answer was very straightforward, wasn't it? It was repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, or God's Spirit will come home to be in you. In hillbilly is what that means at the very end. And as we've traced through the book of Acts, that's exactly what these boys have been doing, place after place after place, as they preach the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And this gal, possessed by a demon, is walking around, pointing her finger at them, saying, "These guys can tell you what you need to do to be saved." Is this the only time that demons have been influenced by the good news of Jesus Christ? The answer is absolutely not. Jesus himself, go back and read, will encounter demon-possessed things. And those demon-possessed things looked at Jesus and they knew who he was, and it scared the living daylights out of them. They knew who God was. They knew when God came around, and that's exactly what's percolating right here. This demon-possessed gal looked at these men and knew this was God walking now in the Gentile world. We've now made Greece. We've made Macedonia. We're in Philippi, where evil percolates everywhere. They worship everything under the sun. And when you get right, and they even worship the sun. So they are worshiping evil and the devil himself. This story is about the devil himself saying, "Those men can tell you how to be saved." How'd that happen? Ain't got a clue. I'm going to be honest with you. I do not know. But the power of God is at play in this story. She kept this up, verse 18, for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the Spirit, "Now wait a minute, you mean tell me it's okay sometimes to be annoyed by something?" We get this pablum that we hear about. You know, Christians are always, they're just so nice and friendly, and you know, they, everything's wonderful. Yeah, I know everybody I know died. I feel so good about it. I'm glad to be so blessed. That's not real life, is it? And that's not the story that God tells us. This gal has been literally making an annoyance of herself day after day after day. Now, what that better tell you real quick is that this bunch of guys kept going back to that place of prayer day after day after day. They're going out to talk to people about Jesus Christ. They're going out to tell people what they need to do to be saved. And every day they go do this. Here she is saying, "These guys can tell you what you need to do to be saved." Maybe she's mocking them. Maybe she's trying to distract you from paying attention to them. Those are all possibilities, but she's doing it. And finally, Paul gets so irritated, he turns to her. Now, what you expect to hear in a normal story of life is he laces her up. He just goes after her. He says, "Would you please be quiet? Woman, shut up." It's what you expect to hear, isn't it? Well, listen to this. Finally, Paul became so annoyed, he turned around and said to the Spirit, "In the name." Boy, this is chilling. And when I read this, it puts chills up and down my spine. He said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to go out of here." Woo! The Apostle Paul looks at this woman. I'm guessing he points his finger. That's my guess. And he says, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." Jesus said similar words, didn't he? When he expelled those demons. Almost the exact same stuff. God has a way of controlling evil. Don't you ever think that evil is more powerful than God or his son Jesus, because it ain't true. And don't let anyone in this world mislead you thinking that this is a level playing field. This fight ain't fair. And God's words themselves drive this being out. At that moment, at the second he said that, the Spirit left her. Now, you can just imagine this. Here's this gal out there. She's been tormenting them for days and days and days and days and days and days and days. Finally, Paul has enough and says, "Out.
Boom, out it goes.
Now, I'm guessing that there's a lapse of time. That's my guess. Before she is called upon by her owners. You realize this gal's owned, and she's owned for the purpose of making these folks money. We're going to find that in a minute. But all of a sudden, well now, Martha, I want you to tell Fred over here, who has just paid me $500 for a reading on what's going to happen tomorrow in the third race. Or who's going to win the Saturday afternoon Ava Bear Lamar Tiger football game. I'm going to put a bet on it. And I need to know, Martha, what the word is. See, I've already gotten the $5 in my hand because everybody knows that Martha's word is true. She gets it right all the time. So, at that moment, the Spirit left her. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, there's a play on the word hope right there. Has to do with flying away. Just like that spirit that she had flew away. When that spirit flew away, their hope of making money flew away. It was gone. And when the owners, the businessmen, the guys with tons of money, you realize that we've already been introduced in the 16th chapter to two kinds of money. Lydia is as rich as can be. She's selling purple stuff. And she is so rich that she can put this whole Christian entourage up in her house and take care of them. Good money, right? Now you're going to see evil money. At the moment the Spirit left her, when her owners realized that their hope of making money had gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. Anybody on this planet that thinks that Christians are treated really with kid gloves in the New Testament aren't being fair. And you're not being truthful. And you're not getting the point at all. When we mean dragged, we mean dragged. If they had hair, Paul may not have, but if they had hair, it may have been by their hair. It was by the back of their neck. Or they grabbed one of their legs while they were on the ground and they drug them from out there by the river, which by best toll is a mile away, back into town. Drugged them back into town, and they took them to the town square. There's two groups going to come and play here, the magistrates and the real knockers. But the first thing they're going to do is they're going to take them to the guys down on the town square, city cops. Put it to you this way. All right? They bought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar." Uproar? Who's in an uproar? The two owners who are losing all kinds of money. And the uproar isn't coming because of Paul and Silas. The uproar's coming because the two owners, or three owners, have just promised 4, 5, 6, 7 people a certain outcome and taken money for it. And the guys that they owe money to and now cannot deliver on it may be in an uproar, but it's not at Paul and Silas, is it? It's at those businessmen who are now in a world of hurt, who are in serious trouble. There's your uproar, if you're looking for an uproar. By advocating customs unlawful for us, Romans, to accept or practice. Did you know that the Roman Empire allowed religions almost everywhere they went? They allowed Judaism. They allowed Shintoism. They allowed Muslim. They allowed all those religions. They did not allow, didn't know this until I worked on this, they did not allow new religions. Had they realized at the beginning of Christianity that Jesus Christ was a new religion, Christianity would have never gotten off the ground by the power of the Roman Empire. You see, the Romans considered Christians to be just a sect of the Jews. They were called the Way originally. And that was just the way inside the Jewish religion. These boys seize on the fact that this sounds a little bit different. And so they are making the accusation that this is actually a new religion and we're not allowed to have it. That's one possibility. The other possibility is they know very well that now the emperor in Rome can't stand the Jews. And that these are Jews, and these are Jews who are coming up with this stuff, and we're not allowed to be a part of that. Verse 22. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. Stop right here. We all look at the terrible scene of the crucifixion of Jesus, and we see that flogging thing they used, and the terrible way they cut into the back, and all of that horrible stuff that comes on. And we say that that is the worst of the worst of the worst, and I have no doubt it was incredibly painful. You need to know something about Jewish flogging. It had its limits. It had a place of stop. And it had to stop after 40. Jesus may have not gotten more than that. Might have. But this is no longer Jewish. This is totally and completely Roman. And what the Romans would do if they were going to beat you with a stick is kind of like a broom handle. It's kind of like a hoe handle. It is a very hard wood. And they would take you and they would beat you until they got tired. No count. They didn't stop at 40. They stopped when they got worn out. Now, Jack, I want you to go home and I want you to get Rick over. Well, let's pick on Matt over here. He's younger. He can handle it longer. You get you a big old pole and you start beating on him and you beat him anywhere you like. Anywhere you like. No holes barred. And you beat him and you beat him and you beat him until you are tired. That's what this is right here. That's what exactly happens right here. They were severely flogged. They were thrown into prison. And the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. You need to understand that Paul will write later on, when he writes back here, and he describes what went on, that this is probably the most miserable beating he had in his career right here. You kill somebody doing this. Are you getting this? This is the price of the freedom that you enjoy as a Christian today. And it's just getting started. They were thrown into prison. Roman prisons were three-tiered. You had the outside part that was kind of like what we call just, you know, like being up there in one of those places where they only beat you every other day and you can sort of see the sun. Then they had the middle prison where you would only see the sun when it goes by at a certain time of the day. That was it. And then you had the inner prison, which is where these boys are going to end up, where you normally died when you got there. There is nothing. There is no light. There's nothing but bugs and rats, and that's it. That's all there is. And these boys are in the inner prison. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell, and he fastened their feet in stocks. I didn't know this. Still working on this lesson. Now, it's bad enough being beaten. It was bad enough being thrown into the inner cell. But when they put your feet in stocks, you have to understand what the Romans meant by that. Now, I could pick on somebody. Maybe I'd pick on Jackson. But I would embarrass him to no end. So I won't. So I'm going to show you myself, sort of, kind of. I'm not out far enough yet because it doesn't really hurt. If you're listening on the radio, I just stretched out. Now, I'm not a cheerleader. These cheerleaders, they can do stuff that's unbelievable. But I want you to know what they did is they pulled your legs out as far as they could. And they based it on how much it was hurting you. And they stretched you out, separating left foot from right foot as far out as they could so that you were in excruciating, never going away, cramping and pain. And then they took and they tied your feet to those sticks that we call the stocks, and they left you in that dark, dank, rotting cell. The price of freedom. Paul and Silas are now in the darkest, deepest, most innermost, nastiest place you can imagine. They have been beaten, not until 40, but until the beater guy got tired. And they have been beaten with a rod on every part of their body. And now they are stretched out as far as you can physically be stretched without just breaking your pelvic bones completely apart, and tied there. And they're in the inner prison, and we are done. You're just going to have to leave them in pain and misery until next week. The reason that we have Christianity in the world today in Ava, Missouri, is because of these two boys right here, Paul and Silas. They are going to ultimately carry Christianity to Ava, Missouri. And on Veterans Day, when we remember those in our country who have served and given everything for us, we need to start getting an understanding of what Christianity has cost people. And if we're not fair to the Bible, and if we don't spend time in the Bible really reading what these words mean, you just think they were kind of beaten with a little bit of a pansy stick. They were thrown into this light-lived jail cell. And they started singing. Next week, we're going to sing. And I'm going to make you sweat over that. That's next week. You see, being a Christian should tell you something. That the boys and girls who got you to where you are today paid a price for it. And so when someone looks at you and laughs because you're a Christian, and you consider yourself offended and hurt, you need to go pick up and read Acts chapter 16. And you need to understand that without Paul and Silas, you probably wouldn't be in the boat being laughed at by somebody. Christianity comes with a cost, even in the 21st century. But first, we have to get through the history of God's family in the book of Acts. And right now, my legs are aching. My knees are on fire. My muscles are cramping everywhere. And Alvy, you think you have muscle cramps? Nothing like what Paul and Silas are going through. Come back next week. Let's get them out of jail. And let's see how they feel about the guy who just did this to them. Jesus changes our lives. If it has done that to you now, you can be saved by the same story these boys are telling and are going to tell the guy who did this to them. If you know what that is, don't wait till next week. Come as we stand and sing.